Welcome, everyone. So, you know, we look around at our world today, there are a lot of reasons to feel like we're in this vice grip of incredibly stressful things happening around us. There's climate catastrophe, there are viruses coming out of China running out of control, there are all of the polarized versions of the world where somehow they, whoever they are trying to take what matters to us away from us. And all of these, it doesn't matter what side of the divide that you're on, all of these messages over time begin to build this sensibility that I would put under one word, a sensibility of scarcity, that we are lacking in enough resources, enough health care, enough money, enough everything in order to make our lives okay. They come over and over again to a message of scarcity. We're living, we turn on the television, it's nothing but messages of scarcity. So as we fall deeper and deeper into this hole, I feel like it's my job as your rabbi to help you out of that hole a little bit today. And that's what I want to do, is to draw some insight from the Torah, from the Parsha this week, to help us with this culture of scarcity that is upon us all the time. So what the Torah teaches us actually is that there's always reasons to feel like we are in a world of scarcity. And that's why we are enjoined to reframe how we understand our world as the Jewish people. That's the message that comes from Torah. We have to constantly reframe it. You can pay attention to all that's going away, all that's slipping away, or you can look at the much broader picture of what really is going on, at the greater reality around us. Because when we do that, suddenly we are met with a message of abundance rather than scarcity. So case in point, I mentioned at the beginning I was going to talk about the law against usurious interest, right? It says that if you lend money to your people, to the poor among you, don't act as a creditor. Don't put interest on that other person who you lend to. Now, of course, that's a very famous law in Judaism. In fact, it's gotten us into a lot of trouble over the centuries. Those who have studied Jewish history know that halakha applies to other Jews. But when we were forced into situations in the medieval period in Europe, the only way we could make money was by lending on interest to non-Jews who were not bound by the same halachic rules. And, of course, that led to a tremendous wave of one of the early waves of anti-Semitism, that we are the money-grubbing Jews. And so it's a tragic thing and incredibly ironic when you think about the real meaning of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not actually meant to create that kind of situation at all. It's the opposite. It's one where we are taking care of each other. In fact, ultimately that law, this is a wonderful example of how rabbinic Judaism evolved from the messages of the Torah, that in fact this is not something that should be separating the Jews and non-Jews. It was called the Heter Iska, that you were allowed then to lend even to each other, to fellow Jewish people, because we had to make a living. And this is how people support an economy, is through this. So then this whole law itself becomes, if we think about it, it's just a relic. It's a quaint text of the Torah. Or is it? So here's what I want to teach today. Our rabbinic tradition understands this law of usurious interest is not ultimately really about money at all. Because, you know, I often counsel people this. Whenever we have stress about money, yeah, I mean, we might have real reasons to be stressed about money. But it's never really about money. Money is a metaphor. Money is a symbol of both scarcity and abundance, and our relationship to scarcity and abundance in our lives. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch in the 19th century wrote about this, and he said the following. He said, you know, when you actually think about the idea of lending on interest, it's not really in and of itself an immoral act. Right? He gives the basic explanation of why people charge interest. You know, if you're giving your money to somebody else, you could have used that money to invest and earn on that money that you have. But since you've given it to somebody else, you can't. So when they pay you back, they're also paying you back for the money you could have earned if you had held on to that money yourself. So, you know, it's a basic transaction, and it makes sense. It's not inherently immoral. Rather, Rabbi Hirsch teaches us from the 19th century, he says, the point of the mitzvah itself is to teach us that what we have, what we own, is really only ours conditionally. In other words, the point of the mitzvah is to get us to ask ourselves the ultimate question, do I really own what I have ultimately anyway? I want to share with you a quote from a Midrash. And it really gets to the heart of this idea. Do we really own what we think we have anyway? This is a Midrash that rises up from this mitzvah in our Parsha. It says, pause and consider all the Holy One's creatures borrow one from the other. The day borrows from the night, and the night from the day, yet they do not strive with each other as human beings do. The moon borrows from the stars, and the stars from the moon. The light borrows from the sun from the light. The heavens borrow from the earth, and the earth borrows from the heavens. Wisdom borrows from understanding, and understanding from wisdom. Loving kindness borrows from righteousness, and righteousness from loving kindness. Torah borrows from mitzvot, and mitzvot from Torah. The Holy One's creatures borrow from each other and repay each other. It is only mortals who borrow from their fellows, and then their fellows seek to swallow them with usurious interest and cheating. Moreover, he who exacts interest says to the Holy One, why do you not take payment from your world in which your creatures are? Payment from the earth to which you give drink. Payment from the flowers which you make grow. Payment from the lights which you cause to shine. Payment from the soul which you breathe into them. Payment from the body which you preserve. The Holy One replies, see how much I lend yet take no interest, and how much the earth lends and takes no interest. I take only the capital I lent, even as the earth takes her capital, for Scripture says, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. It's a beautiful midrash, very powerful, and it's meant to reframe our perspective on what we have. You know, in our regular human arrogance, we think that we have what we have, whether it be our money, our property, everything. We think we own it. But do we really? Or is it actually really on loan from up there? That's really what's going on, right? So I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Imagine a whole society where everybody totally lives by this. A society where you understand that everything, your experiences, your stories, your children, your accomplishments, and your very time itself that you have, all of it is a gift freely given. Min hashamayim. What would a society be like if we had that kind of society? Halavai, huh? It would be utopian. It would be a utopian society where everybody's giving to each other because they know that it's not really theirs in the first place. Right? There are a lot of Jewish people over the centuries that dreamed such utopian societies. It's a society where money is not something that runs out. Even time doesn't run out. It's a reframed idea of life where every moment is what we call in our tradition an et ratzon. A moment of favor. It's a gift. Lu yehi, as we say. Would that that would be the case, huh? But we're not in that world right now. We're not in such a world. We're in a world defined by scarcity. It's a world where people try to cling to what they have. People feel like their money is always running out. People lord their accomplishments over others. They feel like they don't have enough time for everything because we're human. We live in a world of limitation. And that is why we have our environmental crisis. That's why we have our political crises. That's why we have our healthcare crises. Because this sense of scarcity leads to greed. And it leads to clinging. It leads to a world where we are constantly trying to take more for ourselves because we don't know if we're going to get it again. Right? Greed in the corporate world, greed in the healthcare industries, greed in our politics, greed for power. So what are we going to do about this? What is this mitzvah? How is it supposed to help us? Look, what this mitzvah really is about that I'm teaching us today is it's actually a spiritual practice of abundance and gratitude. It's a lifetime practice of constantly reminding ourselves of what we have. And it's not going to stop power-hungry people from trying to grab power and take over things and take money away and take our possessions away from us. That those people are, it's not going to stop them. That's true. But that's not the point of this teaching today. It's about cultivating within ourselves the ability to accept the gifts that we have been given with incredible joy and wonder and gratitude. It's about learning, teaching ourselves, practicing over and over again how to live a life of balance, a life of poise and maturity, where we see the whole picture, where we look around at our world and we understand at every moment that, in fact, there is enough. There is enough money. There are enough resources. There is enough possibility for healing and goodness in this world, enough for everybody and then some all around. Because when we cultivate that capacity within ourselves as human beings, then we become true leaders in the world. Then we become people who can also choose leaders who represent best these values of abundance and creating abundance for the most people in the world, in using our resources, the tova, for the good. Because in truth, we live, folks, in a universe that has, for all intents and purposes, an infinite supply of reasons for hope, for justice, for love, and for compassion everywhere in this whole universe. That's the promise of Torah. That's the promise of Judaism. So our job as the Jewish people is to go through our lives and practice this, to become a people who know that there is enough and who advocate for that truth, even in a world where there are so many people with power who don't believe that. Right? It's up to us to begin to tell the world and to make choices to show that we have truly enough to heal.